I accepted the invitation of Giannakis Michalis, who is a pilgrim and friend of the Holy Mountain, who comes often and, I believe, derives spiritual benefit from my presence on the Holy Mountain. I also heard the thoughts of Father Maris, who, as I can indeed see, has the character of a devout priest and truly depicts the situation in tragic terms. And we, coming from the Holy Mountain, come from a place that lives in another way. The mountain is a place where for someone to go and remain forever, he must forget what I means, he must forget what I want means. There, of course, both his nose, his spiritual intellect, and his heart must be won over by the grace of God and directed entirely toward the worship of God. You here are living in the world. Inevitably, you have cares and worries, you have trials, sufferings, sorrows, and various difficulties that do not arise from you yourselves, but come from others, and you are called to this way of life. To disengage from all these things, for the person himself to free himself, leave everything behind, and turn toward heaven. But sadly, now that I am on the 10th or 11th day of my tour here in Cyprus, I see great anxiety, especially among young people. I see that the young person today has a very great emptiness within. He constantly wants a change of scene. He constantly wants to be in motion. He constantly wants to go about from place to place. He wants to fill this emptiness he feels with various things, whether it is drinking, smoking, or whatever else it may be. And I see that people today find no rest because they do not live rightly but live in the wrong way. I see turmoil within the family. The slightest thing happens, there is tension and a quarrel, and threats begin over trivial, foolish matters unworthy of mention. Yet this is what we encounter. The reason is that people today have strayed from the right path, although they respect the church. And here in Cyprus, thank God, there is still respect. Respect may be present, but we do not follow the church. And precisely because we do not follow the church, the grace of the Holy Spirit cannot enter our hearts to quiet us and give us peace. Today I often see it in people's faces. Of course I say nothing. I mention it now only because Father Marius's words of welcome brought it to mind. People have no peace. There is no peace today. There is turmoil and anxiety. We constantly meet people who say, I am worried, I cannot find any rest, or I am always in a hurry. We encounter all these things today precisely because there is no consistent and proper way of healing the human person. People today care about eating, drinking, going out, leaving home at midnight, of course, and returning at 6 in the morning, because that is today's way and fashion. If you do not do this, you are not considered normal or modern. Even the meaning of entertainment has changed. If this can even be called entertainment, therefore, my brothers and sisters, I tell you with great pain, we must think carefully about this. The course of our life is mistaken. That is why, as you see, people today do not possess that joy within themselves. As I said, they do not have that happiness. People may say hypocritically, how are you, Mr. So-and-so? Very well, thank you. Very, very well, very well. But these are lies. Today we want to make our lives appear beautiful, even though we do not feel well within ourselves. I tell you this because of my ministry. I inevitably visit the homes of people from both the lower and the higher levels of society. And I tell you responsibly that apart from certain exceptions, behind these possessions and this wealth, there is great misery. As I recently told a rich man who had just opened his new home and was there with his children, the dispute concerned one of the children and an additional 100 million. I was in Athens and had to go there because the house had become a jungle. I arrived at 11 o'clock, they had begged me to come, and I told them this, your wealth is the source of your misery. For people today believe that wealth and social and economic advancement will enable them to find rest. I tell you responsibly, my brothers and sisters, on the Holy Mountain we sit and observe how the human soul proceeds, how its course appears, and where it is leading. The human person finds neither happiness nor rest in these outward things. Therefore, as far as we can, we must look deeply into our hearts, discover what we lack, and learn where we come from and where we are going. We must receive the grace of God. I remember my grandmothers, who could neither read nor write and knew no theology. Yet I tell you that now, as a monk, I remember their counsel and am edified by it in my monastic life on the Holy Mountain. They may have been illiterate, but they lived with Christ at the center of their lives. When I entered the bus, I would make the sign of the cross, and when I got off, I would give thanks. Whenever they received something, they gave thanks. It was unthinkable for them to live this life without making the sign of the cross. But they did not do these things merely as outward formalities. Christ was at the center of everything they did. It was unthinkable for them to eat food prepared with oil on Wednesday or Friday. It was simply unthinkable. For them, this was a matter of faith. Today we have begun to despise such things. Look at our prayer. We do not pray. We do not attend church and do not imagine that this is insignificant. Do you know how much a person loses by failing to attend church consistently every Sunday? Someone says, but must I go so often? I will go now and then one time and then another. 15 days can pass before I go again so that I do not become excessive. This is wrong. It is a great mistake. You see, if we are to move forward and the healing of our souls is to be accomplished, we must have a proper systematic method for our healing. That is why emptiness and anxiety reign within us today. We cannot find rest. People today especially cannot find rest. People today especially cannot find rest because the Lord God has not spoken within their hearts. The ascension, the annunciation, all these things have lost their meaning for them. People today cannot find rest. I remember St. Paisios once when we went to see him, he told me this. At that time I was a boy in Konitsa. When he finished his work, he would go out alone into the fields where he prayed and wept for hours, 2, 3, even 4 hours. His parents became worried and said, "We have lost him." This is how many people react when they hear that someone intends to become a monk. We have lost him. That is it. He has gone wild. The Blessed Elder told us that one of his relatives, a literature professor from Athens, came to visit. His poor, simple mother was distressed that such a good child would leave, tend animals, and then go away to become a monk. God is taking him away from us, and we will not see him anymore. He is going to the holy mountain. Then his uncle said to her, "Let me straighten him out, counsel him, and influence him." He called him and said, "Arsenios, for Arsenios was his name in the world, my child, do not be fanatical or excessive. Christ was a great personality, but he was not God. He was simply a great personality like Muhammad or Buddha." That was what he wanted him to believe. And I remember the Blessed Elder saying, "This relative influenced me. I began to doubt, and for many days I could not sleep because of the worry and anxiety within me. A powerful logismos, an intrusive thought took hold of me, and I was overwhelmed by a world of doubtful thoughts. After 2 or 3 days in this state of doubt, I said, 'I will continue as I have been, whether or not Christ is God.' But the doubt kept gnawing at him once while he was again praying to Christ, even though he was still struggling with doubt. He went to a small chapel of St. Barbara in Konitsa. It was his custom to light the oil lamps as soon as he finished his prayer. And as soon as I had lit the lamps, overcome by the deep anguish caused by these doubts, I knelt alone in the middle of the church, for there was no one else there, and wretched as I was, I prayed and cried out, 'My Christ, I beg you, help me. I cannot find rest. Show me a miracle so that I may see.' And while he was kneeling, the holy doors opened by themselves, and Christ appeared before him alive and said, 'Arsenius, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live.' Indeed, I remember that he would even show us the gospel that Christ held in his hands, and whatever Christ spoke with his mouth was also written in the gospel. He would even wager on it and say, 'Let anyone come and tell me Christ does not exist.' What I mean is that today, sadly, our young people regard the gospel as a myth. It is not so, my brothers and sisters. Christ, as the Holy Father says, is a concrete person. Remember when Pilate asked him, 'What is truth?' Christ did not answer. He remained silent. Pilate said to him, 'Will you not answer me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you or to crucify you?' And once again, he, the supremely humble God, who is everywhere present and fills all things, said, 'You could have no authority at all against me unless it had been given you from above.' Do you see the humble and indirect way in which he answered? And when the Holy Fathers comment on this dialogue, they ask, when would Christ have answered him? If Pilate had asked, 'Who is the truth?' Christ would have answered him boldly with what he said elsewhere, 'I am the truth.' Therefore, my brothers and sisters, if we are to find rest, we must live Christ and experience him within the church. Our orthodoxy is what truly moves the heart. I do not know whether you heard that the president of Russia, Mr. Vladimir Putin, recently came to the Holy Mountain. I too was present to welcome him at Karies, and he told us, 'We, as the Russian state, have endured much, and we have seen that orthodoxy prevails among our people. Of our 150 million citizens, 130 million are orthodox Christians, and we want to return to the roots of our people. We have seen that only in this way can we remain strong as a state and as a nation. I will also never forget when Mr. Karamanlis, the Prime Minister of Greece, traveled to Russia on an official visit. A minister named Mr. Loukopoulos, whom I know personally, accompanied him. He told me that at the official dinner he was seated opposite Mr. Putin's wife. She said to him, 'My husband was an official in the KGB, but his mother was deeply religious. How did Putin come to believe? How was he persuaded?' Mr. Loukopoulos told me that Putin's wife goes to Holy Confession and that she, the children, and her husband have a spiritual father. Her husband had a country house and one day it caught fire. The entire house burned down because of a fault in the electrical wiring. He was grieved, not because his house had burned down, but because he had a small wooden cross from his mother, which he kept as a protective blessing. He said, "Ah, what grieved me so deeply was losing that little cross. I do not care about the other things, I can replace them." Yet, by a miracle, although everything made of plastic had burned and even the metal had bent from the heat, he found a little cross among the ruins. From that time onward, this man began to practice the faith and live within the church. Why have I told you this? So that we may understand that when people come to know Christ and Orthodoxy, for Orthodoxy is not a philosophy, an idea, or a romantic sentiment. Orthodoxy is something lived. It is experience, it is life. Therefore, I believe that when a person begins to live the life of the church and lives rightly within the church, he will find consolation, rest, and sweetness. When he discovers this forgotten treasure within himself, he casts all other things aside. He no longer regards them as the chief source of his happiness and satisfaction. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, as far as we can, let us become properly rooted in the church and follow the church. Do not equate the church with the representatives. Many of us who wear the cassock may make mistakes and often fail to behave rightly. You do not reject medical science because there are some bad doctors. Do not reject the Church of Christ if we, her people and representatives, are sometimes unfaithful to our mission. It is impossible for God to live himself without a witness. It is impossible that we should fail to find a grace-filled person who can guide us and help us on our Christian path. Therefore, as far as we can, let us take these things seriously so that we may receive the grace of God. You see, today's gospel reading was the account of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man was clothed in purple and fine linen and feasted splendidly every day. Lazarus lay cast aside, wounded and helpless, and ate the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Lazarus died, and the rich man also died. Notice what St. Luke the Evangelist says. The rich man died and was buried. He was simply buried. But when Lazarus, the poor, suffering, wounded man, died, angels carried away his soul. When the rich man pleaded for Lazarus to be sent to his five brothers, what did Abraham tell him? He told him that if they did not believe the Gospels and the Scriptures, they could not believe even if someone rose from the dead. This is why we need to become part of the church and participate in the mysteries of the church, so that our nose, our spiritual intellect, may be humbled and gain an awareness of eternal life. Look at Judas. How many miracles did Judas see? Judas had Christ as his spiritual father, yet evil entered into Judas and he took his own life. Therefore, as the fathers also teach us, the greatest miracle is the humbling of our nose. When the nose is humbled through keeping Christ's commandments, it discovers sweetness and the substance of spiritual nourishment, and it rejects everything material. That is, you no longer regard material things as the primary source of your happiness. Look at what is happening today. It is dreadful to see. Once, Father Marius, I celebrated an all-night vigil in Lamia for the Christian radio station. We finished at 5 in the morning, and as we were going to our lodging, I heard loud music and all sorts of noise. "What is that?" I asked, startled. I went further on and saw a basement packed with 700 people, swaying, dancing, and carrying on to dreadful music. I said, "Stop it. We did not go back inside to see what was happening so that I might experience it for myself. Stop for 5 minutes, Mr. Americis." Meanwhile, the cigarette smoke filled the whole place. You would have thought they were offering sacrifice to Zeus. That is how thick the smoke was. The music was thundering so loudly that they were being deafened by it. And I said to myself, if this is happiness, if this is entertainment, dancing around like puppets without even knowing what they are dancing. Where are we going, my brothers and sisters? Where is our tradition? Where are our roots? Today, you see, rock music is the new watchword. But do we have no tradition of our own? Are we not Greeks? Do we not have our own history, our own lived experience, our own Greek Orthodox heritage? Nowadays, you see, even names are cast aside. People are always using such names. What is her name? Someone asks. Nancy. But what is Nancy? Her name is Angeliki. She calls herself Nancy and is ashamed of her own name. Do you see this inferiority complex? Why should we have Greek names? All these things may be details, but they express an attitude toward life, an entire way of seeing things. That is why we must believe in returning to the sources, back to where our tradition is found. Otherwise, I say again, judging by the people we see around us, there is no true happiness in the human heart today. Look at the divorces. The Metropolitan of Limassol told me last year I celebrated 800 weddings and issued 300 divorces. Where are we going today? There is no willingness to take up the cross. My husband treated me like this, so I do not want him anymore. Where is your patient endurance? How will the family remain together? What fault is it of those children? Are these acceptable things? A man came to Vatopedi and said, I'm going to divorce. My wife no longer satisfies me after 20 years. Are these reasonable things to say? Yet today they are voiced as though they were the most important problem. This is because a person is empty, like a completely hollow tin that makes a loud noise, but has nothing inside. He has not entered properly into the life of the church, where he could find the grace of God, rest and consolation. And not only will he himself be consoled, he will also give this joy to others and bring it into their lives. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Peace is not merely the absence of war, as some philosophers say. It is the presence of God. It is the presence of His grace. I have said these things to you, and I will not weary you any longer. They come from the pain I feel as I meet and listen to so many people, because unfortunately people do not come to us with pleasant news. They tell us their troubles. I once met an importer from Macedonia, and he asked me about someone who was a mutual acquaintance. I said, as long as he has not telephoned us, the man must be well. People telephone us or send us a fax precisely when they have a problem. Yet, my brothers and sisters, problems are resolved in Christ. When we face our problems in Christ, we will find the solution. But this requires humility. Humility brings rest to the human heart, yet you see how easily an argument flares up over the smallest thing. Because of our egoism, we keep insisting, trying to impose our own will, making demands and refusing to yield. Concerning this Abba, Isaiah the solitary, who is a great saint, says the following. Look, people keep insisting over some matter when all they need to do is cut off their own will and the matter is ended. The greater and stronger person is the one who cuts off his own will. So I pray that the grace of God will help us truly to enter properly into the life of the church and to embrace prayer. Prayer must be everything to us together with fasting. Why should we eat steaks? Why should we eat beans cooked with oil or meat on Wednesday? Is that permitted? Do what the church says. Obedience to the church requires humility. And where there is humility, there is the grace of God. This is how it must be. My brothers and sisters, I earnestly ask you to take these things to heart. You will see that when we keep Christ's commandments, for Christ is hidden within His commandments, we will experience profound rest and consolation, joy, gladness and exultation with all our soul. And I tell you that although we are on the holy mountain and may be physically far from you, we care for you and pray for you. As much as we can, we give thanks and offer consolation to people. It is enough to tell you that so far here in Cyprus we have answered about 2,100 letters from people who write to us, responding to them as best we can. People today are suffering and undergoing trials. Today we also passed through Arodafnosa and brought there a copy of the icon of the Most Holy Theotokos Pantanasa. There one sees human suffering, how deeply a person suffers, what he comes to, and how he also finds joy. You see, when a person has health and money, the devil creates in him, of course, the illusion of earthly immortality. We are not immortal. The only certain event in the future is death. We must all struggle in preparation for that moment, for that hour, because beyond the grave, the true life of human beings begins. Our saints are proof of this. After death, our saints bear witness through their presence, through their miraculous presence, that they exist, that they are our fathers, and that we should invoke them in our prayers so that they may help us. May we have the prayers of our saints.